Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hello, I'm Larry Mueller. Really pleased to have you with us today as we turn our attention to orchids. And we usually do that about this time of the year because there's an event called Orchid Quest that comes to the Madison area. But people come from all over Wisconsin to attend that event. It's this year, February 5th and 6th at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. And so we kind of use that as an excuse to talk about orchids. And this year, we've asked Chuck Eaker to be with us. Chuck has been involved with growing orchids and other flowers, but he's a specialist in orchids for a long, long time. He's with the Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin, formerly called Orchids by the Acres. And it's really, I'm really happy to have Chuck with us today to talk about orchids and to answer your questions. So if you have questions maybe about Orchid Quest or about orchids, growing them, caring for them, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. Chuck Eaker, welcome. Great to have you with us today.
Hey, thank you, Larry. It's great to be here.
I tell you what, Orchid Quest is always a lot of fun. Every time I go, though, I wind up, I always say I'm not going to buy anything. And pretty much every time I walk out the door with one or two.
It's futile. don't restrain. Don't restrain. Orchids do that to us. It's a very compelling plant, and it can be an addiction collecting those plants.
Yeah. You're kind of an addictive guy, I guess, when it comes to orchids.
Absolutely. You know, and that's actually how that business got started. It was someone's small hobby back in the 30s, and the collection, of course, went wild, and a business spawned from that, and here we are yet today, you know, some 70 years later. So.
Oh, man, that's that's amazing. And I've been out to your center, and it's just a lot of fun just to walk through the center and see the plants.
It is, especially this time of the year. Most of the orchids that we grow flower predominantly from, December into May or June. So right now it's just peak season. Everything is coming about into flower.
And, you know, one of the questions, and we've got callers online to go to the phones, but one of the things that people bring up about orchids is, they're so hard to grow or they're so hard to keep. And that's not necessarily true.
You know, it really isn't. Orchid actually takes less care than a lot of houseplants that folks are currently growing in their home. You know, the one thing I see people doing with their orchids is, you know, they have this mystique to them that the orchid is a fussy plant and, you know, it comes from humid jungles and so on and so forth. And they just, you know what they do? They just pamper these plants literally to death. And my motto to the customers almost every day is the orchid thrives on neglect. So, you know, a little bit of negligence there and abuse, those plants love it. So you definitely don't need to do much with them besides water once a week or so and provide some fertilizer once a month and, you know, get it repotted on an average annual basis and, you know, give it plenty of light while it's growing. It's pretty straightforward.
It is. And we've had pretty good luck with our orchids.
Good.
My wife's pretty good with flowers, and I'm good on the neglect side.
It's a perfect plant for you.
It's a great plant for me. Well, Marion Oliva has a question for you, so let's go there. Hi, Mary. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Someone suggested to me that I use baby wipes that have a little bit of alcohol in them to clean my plants.
Your orchids.
Yes, to clean the leaves. What do you think about that?
Well, the alcohol itself can be a little bit damaging on certain orchids. That's one thing you want to watch. Now, the more stiff, turgid-leaved orchid plants, such as Phalaenopsis, which are the most common, or Cattleya, and, you know, many other types of orchid genera, it's not going to bother it a bit. But when you start dealing with some of the more soft, plicate-leafed species and so on, I wouldn't do that. You know, just a simple lemon juice on a rag, we'll clean those leaves right up. We'll take those water spots right off. And there are commercial Leaf Shine's available in a spray can too, which are sold, you know, all over the place.
Lemon juice. I never heard of that. That's great.
Mm-hmm. Yep, natural lemon juice. The acidity of it will cut that calcium and mineral that's built up on the leaves from your misting, if that's the issue, or just a damp cloth removes the simple household dust.
Would it take off scale?
Scale is an insect, and that's something you want to use some dishwashing detergent and water on a damp rag and just wipe it with that. You have to be pretty diligent, though. The scale insect itself is very, very small. It hides in all kinds of tiny little places, so spraying is really necessary with that. But an initial wiping with the soapy water will certainly get you a good start.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks a lot for calling, Mary. Appreciate it. Well, let's go to Deb, as long as Deb's on the line here from New Berlin. Hi, Deb. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I was given at Christmas time, and it's planted in one, like actually in a coffee mug. There's an orchid, which is the real common variety, and an ivy. And I want to split them because, you know, obviously the ivy needs more water, I think. Anyway, that's what I think. I've never had an orchid, so I'd like some ideas on, actually, I just need to know how to repot the orchid.
Yeah,
I
is that a,
it's in some bark, right? So.
And do you know the type of orchid you have? Is it
the one that you mentioned, the most
Phalaenopsis?
Common. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, if it's the basic Phalaenopsis, you know, just simply pull both of those plants out of that container and, you know, get yourself a good blend of orchid mix, a bark-based orchid mix. It's generally commercially available if you're having a hard time finding it. We can mail order some to you.
Okay.
It's important to use a good blend of orchid mix. Some of the things that are sold out on the open market are pretty rough, in my opinion. I don't really advise using them, but
a
bark-based mix is really what you want to do. And depending on how many roots that plant has at the time you pull it out of that container, that is going to dictate the size of the pot that you're going to need. So in essence, I'm trying to tell you, do not put it in any bigger of a pot than what the root ball is going to accommodate. And then you just add the mix in there and pack it down.
Okay, great. It's a pretty small ivy, so I'm imagining it would be pretty small. So it should be a smaller pot then for it.
Yeah, it sounds like it's probably going to go into like a 4-inch maybe or something like that.
Okay, and then you also said that once a year it should be repotted?
Correct. Orchids really prefer a fresh mix on an annual basis for the most part. There are some that can go 2 to 3 year intervals, but for Phalaenopsis, they love to be repotted every year.
Great. I thought they were really delicate, but you've kind of put that to rest for me, so that's good.
No, definitely. Definitely. Delicacy is a fallacy in that situation.
Okay.
Plants are tough.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks
for calling.
Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too, with your questions. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And you can even ask a question or raise an issue on my Facebook page. So just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and you get your question answered that way, too. And as a matter of fact, Chuck, we have a question from my Facebook page. And the person says, my dad used to buy my mom an orchid every year for Easter, and they always had a lovely scent. The orchids today, or at least the ones she comes in contact with, don't seem to have the scent. Is that bred out of them in the process of breeding a hardier orchid?
Well, no, definitely not. I think what has happened nowadays is some of those varieties have kind of been pushed off to the side of the marketplace. You know, the big box stores all carry the Phalaenopsis and the general basic orchid varieties, and they don't really carry some of those other types. And the one variety that really comes to my mind is the Cattleya orchid, commonly available at Easter and Mother's Day, widely sold through our greenhouse as a cut flower item back in the day. Now, of course, it's a popular plant item and incredibly fragrant type of orchid, and as well as Cymbidium orchid, which is another one you don't see, you know, out there in the commonplace. It's more of a nursery, an orchid-growing nurseries item, so that's maybe what's happened there.
All right, but I would bet that our Facebook writer's father probably bought Cattleyas. Cattleyas.
I wouldn't doubt it one bit. One of the most showy and fragrant orchids of all time, and it's probably the most popular orchid at the Eastern Mother's Day season.
Yeah, and Cymbidium, did you say?
Cymbidium is another one. We're currently flowering those at the greenhouse. They're aromatic. Once you get those into your home, you'll start to notice a sweet scent emitting from those plants.
All right, so there we have it. Let's go back to the phones, and Karen in Appleton has a question for you. Let's go there. Hi, Karen. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have purchased orchids, several different varieties at Home Depot or one of the home stores, and I'm terrible with plants, but I take them home, and they look beautiful for 2 or 3 months, maybe a little bit longer, and then slowly the flowers fall off, and the leaves seem to stay alive, but I can never get them to reflower. And I'm wondering what I'm doing wrong and how I might get them to come back to life.
Well,
or maybe buy them somewhere else where I'm getting a better variety.
Well, I wouldn't want to go there directly, but that would be a real helpful start anyway. But the first thing you're going to want to do with those plants coming from the big boxes is as soon as they are finished flowering, you're going to want to get them transplanted into a bark-based mix. The bark-based mix is most conducive for our growing season here in the northern climate of Wisconsin. So as soon as they're done flowering, get them shifted into a good quality orchid bark-based mix, and then get them into a window where they're most likely going to get some sunshine. Not too awfully hot, but that morning sun in our climate is an ideal spot for the Phalaenopsis and the slipper orchids and many other types. If you don't have an eastern morning situation, you know, you can go to south and west, but just be careful upon how much direct sun's actually going to be on those leaves. And then fertilize. You know, just simple rules of orchid culture is, you know, don't overwater it, don't over-fertilize it, and follow the care sheet that, you know, we have posted on our website. We're always there to answer questions, too. So I know you don't get a lot of information when you buy the orchids from the big boxes, and that's what commercial greenhouses like our, you know, us are there for. So don't hesitate to contact us.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And what's your website?
Our website is orchidsgardencenter.com, and there you will find care sheets that are written by myself specifically for our climate here in Wisconsin. So any type of orchid that you currently have in your collection, you would more than likely find a care sheet posted on our website that you should follow. Again, it's written for our climate here in Wisconsin. It's not written by somebody out in California that's talking about orchids. So
it's orchids, and it's orchids plural, orchidsgardencenter.com.
Correct.
And center spelled the English way.
It is. It's spelled that way technically, but the website, you can spell it anyway and they'll still get to the
okay.
website. So yeah, we got that fixed.
Orchidsgardencenter.com. Okay, let's go to Christine in Turtle Lake, Wisconsin. Hi, Christine.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a question about the proper procedure for cutting the flower stalk after it's done blooming. I heard from someone that you should put cinnamon on the end, and I wasn't sure why, and I told my mom she should do it, and she asked me why, and she didn't know either.
Okay,
is that a good idea? Or?
So you put cinnamon on the cut stem is the rule that you got?
Yes.
All right, well, what's that about, Chuck?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, cinnamon is a natural bactericide and fungicide properties to it. So it does really come into play in the orchid family a lot. However, you do not need to apply it on the cut inflorescence or the cut flower stem at all. You would want to apply it if you were cutting into a leaf. Perhaps you had a little, fungal attack on the tip of a green leaf and you wanted to cut that off. It's really, really applicable there where you can dust a little cinnamon on that fresh green tissue that you just cut into on a leaf or some other part of the plant. For the flower stem, not necessary.
There you go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking about orchids on this edition of Garden Talk with Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin, really having fun with him talking about orchids. And one open line, I guess you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our on-air producer here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Lots of orchid questions here as we visit with Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin, talking about orchids and Orchid Quest. We haven't gotten to that yet, but we will give you a little more information about Orchid Quest, February 5th and 6th. We actually have something posted on my Facebook page, too, about Orchid Quest. So if you want to go there to the Larry Mueller Show, you can find it there as well. Simeon in Denmark, Wisconsin, has a question for you, Chuck. So let's go there. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I did the neglect part extremely well on my orchid here.
Congratulations.
And towards the top, they both actually has three offshoots or branches. And the one died, and towards the top of it, an orchid actually offshoot, and now it's forming white roots on the bottom of it, or what look like roots.
Okay.
Should I cut that off and repot that, or what? I repotted it already, and it's actually starting to form more shoots towards the bottom, but I don't understand. I don't think it's getting roots towards the or nutrients towards the top of the orchid.
Okay. Is that a Phalaenopsis orchid?
I'm not sure. An elderly lady gave it to me.
Okay. I'm assuming it's a Phalaenopsis orchid. They generally they have the tendency to make what's called a kiki, which is a Hawaiian term for baby. They make the little baby plant on top of the cut flower stem sometimes. Sometimes you don't even have to cut it. They'll shoot the kiki out by themselves. Now, your question about whether you should plant it or not, that's entirely up to you. If you want to, you know, take the little kiki, the little baby, and plant it and grow it up and, you know, pride yourself on raising the thing up to a flowering-sized plant, that's great. It is a slow, laborious process raising the small orchid seedling, so I just want to warn you about that. It's not super rewarding, but once it has roots, you can certainly pot it. Very small pot, transfer it into fresh mix every 6 to 9 months from thereafter until it's about a flowering-sized plant.
And how much of the actual stem of the old stem should I cut off of it? Because it's still attached to it.
You don't need any of the old stem at all. As long as that little kiki plant has two roots, an inch long, you can cut it from that stem and plant it individually. And then get rid of the entire old flower stem from the mother plant.
Okay. And then secondly, I had another lady tell me that if I put ice cubes on them once a week, that will be suffice for watering. Is that a myth, or?
Well, it's an advocation from a certain online orchid company. We don't promote that at all. It's just a real short-term method of watering, a lazy man's method, if that would be the appropriate. But no, orchids like to be flushed, so it's good to take your orchid to the sink and let the water run from the top out through the bottom. It brings in nutrients from the water, oxygenation, and ion exchange. That's really what the orchid wants.
Okay, and then 1 inch on those roots then, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Jay in Ferryville, we are on to you now. Hi, Jay.
Good morning.
Morning.
I was curious on two things in particular. Cocoa husks for the Phalaenopsis and feeding them bananas.
Bananas, the banana or the peel or what?
No, the banana peels to feed the orchid plant itself, mostly with the Phalaenopsis, but and also using the cocoa hulls as a bark mix, you know, using it in the bark mix. I'm just curious how he feels about those two things.
Well, I'll address the cocoa situation first. In its infancy, the cocoa was a great product. All the orchid growers in the country were on a big rage about it. We personally didn't go down that road. And what had happened about a year or two into development is everyone noticed the cocoa shell is a salt magnet. So it actually starts accumulating all the minerals that are found in your water and your fertilizer, and it just builds up in there. And without proper flushing, you run into a salt buildup situation, which just totally burns the roots. So I personally do not advocate cocoa at all for that reason. And as far as the bananas, a banana is going to decompose, of course, and add a certain level of nutrient to that substrate, whatever substrate that the plant is growing in. But to be honest with you, it's not going to give that much of a nutrient benefit to the plant. That's basically how they grow in nature. Yes, there's decomposing detritus around like that, but I think it's going to cause more issues than benefit there in the home and greenhouse or collection situation, just from rotting and bacteria and fungus.
All right. There you go. Thank you very much, Jay, for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Lots of callers here. Let's go to Jean in Menominee next. Hi, Jean. Thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks. I have a question. I had shipped back from Hawaii a couple of very baby orchids.
Yeah.
Boy, it's taken a long time. I killed one of them, so. I was transplanting it and the roots fell off. I was following the book I had about making sure that you had all the old dirt and everything off of it.
Right.
You got a little overzealous.
Yeah, I didn't realize. Yeah. And I used to take really good care of my orchids until I had a baby, and now that I have my baby, the orchids kind of went in the back.
A little bit too much neglect, huh? You went too far.
Yeah. It's your own Kiki.
Can I ship them to you? They need some TLC. I haven't had the ones from Hawaii bloom yet. They're growing.
Okay.
How long have you had it?
Quite a while.
I mean, a year? Did you get it last year or this summer?
Oh, no. I've had them for like 8-9 years.
Oh, 8 or 9 years. Oh,
boy, I admire your persistence there.
Well, me too.
I didn't know about the repotting every year, but they recently got repotted because they outgrew their pots.
Yeah.
Is it very important to have an orchid pot or just a pot that can breathe?
No, just any pot that has drainage at the bottom is sufficient, as long as you're using a proper mix that drains well in itself, which is typically a bark-based mix. But, you know, back to your deal where you've obtained the very young plants from Hawaii, those plants really are so slow and growing, and without a greenhouse, you are looking at many, many years of development there.
Well, you got 8 years in already.
Yeah, not real rewarding. You know, orchid seedlings are not real rewarding to grow as a small plant. It takes us as a professional grower anywhere from 3 to 7 years or more in some cases to raise these plants. So,
it was just a teeny tiny one. So cute.
Yeah, and in some cases, the varieties that are sold out there are not varieties that are conducively grown here in Wisconsin either. So, and they don't bother to tell you that. It's just one of those things.
I got one, I think, from Sam's Club for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, who's the guy on the public channel? It's the gardener.
Well, guy?
And it says 3 ice cubes a day, and that's all you need to do.
P. Allen Smith or something like that? Or
no, that's not three
and
ice.
And I'm thinking, well, aren't you supposed to mist them every day?
No, misting is not really that beneficial. It's not something that's going to be the big thing on the totem pole of important. It's mostly about light and your temperature and, you know, your proper watering technique. So humidity is not an issue.
My problem. My house is either hot or cold.
So I
try my best.
We need to set you up with some good plants and some good instructions, so come on, visit us.
Come to my house and rejuvenate mine. And I also wanted to mention that I've been using lava rocks around my hostas and my other plants and stuff, but it just kind of helps keep the slugs down.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I guess they don't like to, like, climb on it. But I've also been using it in my potted plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, top off my orchids on the top to hold them down into that mixture, and I put the larger lava rocks on it. And they seem to really like that lava rock residue that comes off.
Well, that's good. I can't really say, you know, anything about that, but, you know, whatever's working for you, stick with it. I know people that bend all the rules and do everything totally wrong, and it works great. So, you know what? That's great.
And the hostas really like the lava rocks, too.
Great. Glad to hear.
Maybe I can get the hostas to grow my orchids.
Right.
So, do you ever put your orchids outside in the summer?
Yes, a lot of orchids can summer themselves outdoors. Phalaenopsis would not be one of them. Most of the lady slipper types should stay indoors, but a good portion of orchids can summer outdoors here in the Midwest from June into early October.
Okay. Because the one I have from Hawaii is called Mickey Mouse.
Well, that's just a common name. I would need a genus or a hybrid name to really be specific. But check our website. Maybe you can decipher what type of orchid it is and then read the care instructions posted there.
Yeah. Okay, I got a Bill Schwitzer, too.
No. Okay.
Gene, you're a character. Thanks a lot for calling. Yes, and to have a baby and be so upbeat and friendly and happy.
Yeah, she's got a lot going on there.
She's got a lot going on there.
Diligent lady.
Thanks, Gene. And appreciate that call. It was a lot of fun. We got an email from Carol. She bought an orchid at Orchid Quest last year, and it flowered. Flowers are gone. Had it repotted at the Wanakee store and fertilized it once a month. Bottom leaves are turning yellow on her now, and it didn't flower again. Any ideas as what might be happening there, Chuck?
Yeah, you know, sometimes after the repot, if the plant isn't cared for just perfect for a while there, the biggest thing with after repotting is I see the people that overwater the plant because the bark hasn't been conditioned yet. It looks dry on the top, and down in the core, it's still very moist. And I see that being one of the bigger issues. So then some root demise sets in, and then the bottom leaves start to go limp. Depending on when it was repotted, she may want to yank it out of the pot again, you know, save the mix and everything, but yank it out of the pot and investigate those roots. And if they're not so great, trim off the not so great roots and find a smaller pot and put that mix back in there and don't water it so much, but maybe misting the leaves in between the watering cycles really help rehydrate the leaves.
Sounds like a plan. And Dennis in Toma, we are on to you now. Hi, Dennis. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. My question concerns dogs and cats in relationship to an orchid in the house.
Okay.
Is it good or bad?
Well, I've got two Rottweilers. I know countless customers have pets. No issues. I mean, if you're thinking of toxicity issues from an orchid being chewed on or consumed, no worries there at all. Other than that, you know, no, go for it. Load up the pets and load up the orchids.
Excellent.
All right.
You bet.
Now, that's one problem we have in our house is our cats. They like to chew on plants.
Yeah. You know, there's a little remedy for that. Get a Mr. Bottle and a couple dashes of Tabasco sauce in there and some water. And then spray those leaves with that, and once that pepper dries on the leaves and the animal, the cat or whatever it is, goes and takes the chomp out of it, they soon learn that wasn't fun. Customers have told us that for years.
All right, so a couple of dabs of Tabasco in a Mr. Bottle.
You betcha.
I will give that a try. I will give that a try. Let's go to Donna in Madison. Hi, Donna.
Good morning.
Morning.
Three years ago, found what turned out to be showy orchids growing wild on my property out in Iowa County.
Oh, cool.
And I found them when I was out there looking for morels, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so beautiful and they're so tiny, but mm-hmm. I'm wondering if there is a way to transplant them to bring them back and actually get them to grow around my house in Madison.
Well, the trans...
Or should I even be doing that?
No, just flat out, no. The deal with transplanting or moving any of those native Wisconsin orchids like that is, you know, there's such a symbiotic relationship with their surroundings that, you know, you'd need to go in there with an end loader and take a whole end loader bucket scoop full of substrate and material with you and bring that back to your yard in Madison here and dig a hole and plop that whole thing down there to really be successful. And in some cases, you know, that isn't even enough. So they really shouldn't be disturbed. You know, just admire them and cherish them on your property. And you know what you could possibly try in the future is obtaining a seedling of that particular orchid variety, which you may be able to find at Orchid Quest this year because one of the gentlemen vending there and speaking there actually raises native Wisconsin orchids here in Baraboo.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Yes, definitely. Scott Weber, Blue Stem Farms up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, he puts on an incredible presentation at Orchid Quest every year, and it is the first presentation on Saturday at 11:30 a.m. I just love it. Scott is an amazing speaker, and he is the most knowledgeable native orchid person that I know, bar none. And often he has some seedlings to sell, and he'll certainly school you on how to get them going.
Okay.
That's a great idea. Thanks, Donna.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. And while we're on Orchid Quest, let's talk a bit about that because it's 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a rundown on what we're, I kind of already know what to expect from past years, but tell us about what's going on this year.
Well, this is the 24th annual Orchid Quest, hosted by the Orchid Growers Guild here in Madison, held at the Alliance Center both Saturday and Sunday, February 5th and 6th. Saturday it's from 10 to 5 p.m. and Sundays it's from 10 to 4 p.m. Admission is $7 for the 1 day, and the 2 day pass is $10. I highly recommend that because you really can't soak everything in 1 day out there. It is probably one of the largest, most interesting orchid shows in the area, and I'm talking, you know, in the upper Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot going on there. There's, you know, like 55 different exhibits, not only orchid plant exhibits, but art, and there's quilts out there now and floral arranging, everything to do with orchids. There's 20-25 different orchid vendors that come from all over the Midwest. Some come from even farther. There's a gentleman coming from California this year to do some vending. He's also speaking. There's judging there. All of the orchid plants that are in the exhibit room are judged by the American Orchid Society, so it's where everybody brings their heavy artillery out and shows their best wares, and so we can win some prizes on a national scale. So it's really a great event, and I'll tell you, there is a plethora of orchids in that event that still amazes me, and I have been doing this all my life. I won't tell you how old I am, but I'm old. And
oh, you're not that
there's
old.
There's stuff in there that just blows me away, and it is so worth seeing, especially this time of the year.
And as you were saying, there's speakers and presentations, a chance to learn a little bit, too.
Absolutely. Presentations both Saturday and Sunday. Like I said, the first one starts at 11:30 with Scott Weber doing his native orchid presentation, the cultivation and conservation of. There's another presentation Saturday at 1 p.m., troubleshooting your orchids with Herman Pigors from Oak Hill Gardens in Dundee, Illinois. He is an iconic orchid grower in this area. I grew up knowing Herman as well. And at 2:30, there will be our keynote speaker from California, Fred Clark from Sunset Valley Orchids in San Diego. He'll be doing a program on some different genus that he has recently developed. He's an interesting speaker and highly informative as well. And then Sunday, there's two programs. The first one at 11:30 is how to repot orchids successfully. A lot of people can benefit from that. We get calls constantly on that situation. Presented by Mary Stewart. Her little business is called Going to Pot Orchids, and she's from Neenah, Wisconsin, and she started a small orchid potting service business up there, which has been highly beneficial in that area. And then at 1 o'clock, one of the members from the Orchid Growers Guild, Heidi Wetmore, she's one of the newer members that's really taken off in that club. She's about a 3 or 4 year orchid grower now and has a huge collection already and is an impeccable grower. She has just jumped right on the horse and rode. And she's going to be doing a program called To Grow or Not to Grow. Vanda is the question. And the Vanda orchid is probably, again, one of the more favorites of mine and very showy. So a lot of great programs out there.
Lots to see. And we've got a site on our Facebook page, on my Facebook page, there's more information about Orchid Quest. And I think if you just Google Orchid Quest, you're going to find Orchid Quest Madison or Orchid Quest Wisconsin. You're going to find lots of information.
Absolutely.
More specific. Let's go to Jerry in Grafton next. Hi, Jerry. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have some lakeshore property, and we have wild orchids growing along the weeds in the lakefront. Do those grow from seed? I'm afraid if somebody picks them, we might lose them. Or are they annual plants that come back?
Well, they'll actually propagate, you know, both ways. They'll have runners, which are called either rhizomes or stallones, depending on what genus of orchid that is specifically.
I think they're a lady slipper. They're a violet or a dark blue, and then with a white lower petal.
Okay. All right. Well, that's probably one of the more commonly found orchids in our area around here. The Cypripedium is actually the genus of those. And they do have little runners that come out from the mother plant, shoot out, you know, several inches in some cases, several feet in some cases. So they'll propagate all by themselves on their own. And they can also, you know, make seed and produce seed on their own. But it's a it's a touch and go process. I mean, the pollinator has to be there to get the flower pollinated at the right time. And
well, they're producing seeds because the birds go after the seeds in fall.
Well, good, good. Then just let everything be, and nature will take care of itself there.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Jerry. And let's go to Ruth in Mineral Point next. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Sure. I was an avid orchid grower from the mid-70s until 84 when I had my baby, and then I didn't have time for them anymore. And I used to spend a lot of time at Hauserman's in Illinois.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there was a particular plant that I got several times that I just loved because it bloomed at Christmas and was incredibly not only beautiful but fragrant, and it was, I believe it was an engracium of some kind.
Okay.
It was a big white star-like flower.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I've not seen one of those around for a very long time.
Oh, well, you need to come and visit our greenhouse. We currently have about 40 or 50 of them in spike, in bud. We have one blooming that we're going to use in our exhibit at Orchid Quest next weekend, so you could actually see the flower, but that is Angraecum sesquipedale,
yes,
which is a naturally occurring species from Madagascar, and it is probably one of the most amazingly fragrant orchids,
yes,
at night. So, and if you ever get one and you want to trick it into producing its fragrance for your friends or something during the day, just put it in a box, close it up tight, and so it thinks it's nighttime and it's dark, and then leave it sit in there about an hour or so, and then open the box, and you will just be amazed.
Well, I'm very selfish. I just do it for myself.
Well, good for you.
Good for you.
Yeah, but they're definitely obtainable. It's a plant we cultivate.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Ruth. Thank you very much. And by the way, you can join in, too, with your questions about orchids at 1-800-642-1234. Or if you'd like, you can email us at talk@WPR.org. Love to hear from you. And tell you what, we'll go to Paul in Clintonville. Hi, Paul.
Good afternoon, Larry. How are you today?
Great. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a cymbidium. And it's left over from a three I had from my dad, who grew them in San Diego, where I'm from originally. And he was a member of the San Diego Zoological Society and all this. Dad's gotten quite long in years now, unfortunately, and I can't seek his counsel anymore. Anyway, I'm curious about a couple things. I've had this for about 3 years, and I don't know if you need a particular hybrid or not. It makes any difference. I do have it, something called Khyber Pass, crossed with a Hunter's Point.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
A whole lot or not. At any rate, I haven't been able to get this thing to bloom in, I think it's 3 years now. It might even be four, actually.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting in a little plastic pot in the southern window. One question I have for you, how well do these plants do on well water, which is where I'm at out here on a little farmette?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good question.
Two. I have it in a bark mulch, but it might be a cypress bark mulch, if I remember. Can that work or not?
Okay.
And what would you do to encourage bloom?
Okay, well, let's address that water issue initially. And Cymbidium is one of the orchids that really does like the well water. It loves the minerals that are present there, like the calcium and the magnesium, the bicarbonates, and some of those elements that are commonly found in our well water here in Wisconsin due to our limestone substrate, so to speak. So that's not a problem. They love it. And, you know, as far as your potting mix, the Cymbidium is a terrestrially grown orchid in nature, so it likes something that's a little bit more dense. It's not one of those orchids that specifically likes to dry out or needs to dry out that much. So
all right,
I think your potting mix is definitely good. You know, every couple of years or so, you're going to want to repot that, though. And when you do, you'll be able to see how happy those roots are in that mix. And if they're not, they're looking like they might be rotting or something, you know, adjust your mix a little bit. Throw some perlite or something in there to help it breathe a little bit more. And
Cypress bark mulch would be okay for that?
Yeah, it should be. You know, you'll want to throw a little peat moss in there and maybe a handful of perlite and stuff and make kind of a mix. Don't use it straight. It's always good to have some other components in there just to allow some oxygenation and some aeration and some buffer and so on.
One other thing, I remember when I repotted this, and it was my advice to my father, like you said, you don't you don't namby-pamby around and really pound them in. And I did that. However, he also said at the time it would take a couple of years to bloom. Now, this was already a mature plant when I got it.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, and your advice, however, is to repot every year, isn't that going to affect the bloom cycle as far as recovery and bloom?
Well, no, the Cymbidium should be repotted about every 2 years. Sometimes you can go three, depending on the pot size that you've chosen and how fast the plant is actually growing. But it's one that can go a good couple of years for sure. Most other orchids like annual repottings, and there are exceptions to that as well. So you're definitely, when you do repot them, it sometimes does set them back a little bit. So, you know, if you don't traumatize it too much at that point. But to get them to reflower, the Cymbidium really needs to have cool nighttime temperatures. So when you're growing it outside in the summer from June into early October, and it starts to freeze at night, you need to bring it into a room that is also very cool, like a garage with a window, or a downstairs room that's not heated well, or a three-season unheated porch room or something like that. Try to grow that plant cold all the way into the first part of December, and that is what's going to help set those flower spikes.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin, our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're taking a look at orchids today on this edition of Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee. Great to have him along, and thank you so much for listening in. I want to remind you about Orchid Quest. That's coming up February 5th and 6th in Madison at the Alliant Energy Center from 10 to 5 on Saturday and from 10 to 4 on Sunday. Some great workshops, some great speakers, and tons of orchids and displays that are just absolutely beautiful. Hope you have a chance to take a look. Ron in Viroqua has a question for you. Chuck, let's go to Ron. Hi, Ron.
Hi, how's everybody doing?
Just great.
Very well.
Okay, I'm not an orchid grower, but many, many years ago, back in the 70s, I had an elderly friend who raised orchids, and she had a greenhouse in her home, and it was humidity and temperature controlled and everything, and it was fairly large, about 20 by 15. And off to the side, she must have had at least 15 different types of orchids, and they were beautiful. But off to the side, she had a oriental-type room divider, folding room divider. And in that little area, she had a black orchid growing. Now, I asked her about that, and this is a mystery I've been wanting to solve for I don't know how many years. But I asked her why she had it off to the side, and she said, because my other orchids don't like the black orchid. Now, I don't know if there's any truth to that, but she was pretty adamant about keeping it separate from her other orchids. If you can answer that question, I'd really appreciate it.
Well, that sounds like a good movie in the making or something.
Yeah.
You know, there's no logic behind that at all. I think, you know, the lady is probably, you know, so prided herself in that particular plant or something that, you know, she wanted to give it exclusive rights to its own area. You know, mixing orchids together like that, you know, has never been. They don't really have, you know, feelings like that. So
there's nothing that one orchid would exude that would harm another orchid, sort of like, you know, black walnut trees, the allelopathic, the problems that you can have there.
You know, to the best of my knowledge in all the years dealing with orchids, no, I've never experienced any such of a situation. So again, I think it was just that person's personal preference to give that plant its own space.
There you go, Ron. Thank you for calling. Appreciate it. Karen in Partyville, we're on to you. Hi, Karen.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have two orchids that are in about 10-inch rather tall pots. I got them from my sister. I don't know what they are. They have kind of a leaf that almost looks like a spider plant leaf, and they're quite tall.
Okay.
And I was told that they were from the Himalayas and had to be kept cool. So I'm hoping you can help me identify them. And then I'm hoping that you can tell me what to do. At the bottom, they have almost like a corm or a bulb.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the bulbs now, I've had them for 2 years, and they did not bloom last year, but they are blooming this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I do keep them in a very cool area. But some of the bulbs or corms in that 10-inch pot are dried out and look as though they're dead. Should I just be removing those?
Okay, well, congratulations on getting it to flower. I highly commend you on that. That is a Cymbidium orchid, and yes, it is native to the Himalayas, and it does like it cool, and I'm sure you've realized all that since you've already flowered that plant. And on our website, you will find our Cymbidium cultural care sheet, which will probably help you pick up a few tips there.
Excellent.
Now, as far as the leafless pseudobulbs, those are pseudobulbs that are on top of the pot there where the leaves have come out. The Cymbidium does have a tendency to lose some of its leaves off of the very oldest pseudobulb, and as the plant develops new pseudobulbs, they have the leaves and they last for X amount of years, and those leaves fall off. However, at the time of repotting or transplanting that Cymbidium, you're able to get into the center there or wherever those leafless pseudobulbs are and remove a few of them. Don't take them all out at one time. It's a little bit of a shock to the plant, but you can clean it up a bit at that process. And, you know, if you're reluctant to do that, bring that out to our greenhouse where we offer repotting services, or read our care sheet. You'll see a repotting paragraph there that might walk you through some of that process as well.
Okay, and are these an orchid that probably would not be transplanted on a yearly basis?
Correct. Cymbidium can go 2 to 3 years on an annual 2 to 3 year intervals for repotting, depending on how fast it's growing, how many pseudobulbs it's making each year, and how well the mix is holding up. Typically, by the end of the third year, the mix is pretty well broken down, or the plant is just physically outgrowing the pot to the point where it's splitting the pot.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Bill in West Salem, we turn to you. Hi, Bill.
Hello, Larry and Chuck. Thank you for the program.
Sure.
All right. Here's what I got. I've got an orchid plant that was given to us, the wife and I, back in October of last year. My questions are as this. It's in a 4x4 glass pot, 4 inches deep. It's got the moss on the top, all the rocks on the bottom, and we've been keeping it fairly moist. So my questions are as this, guys. Number one, when do I repot it?
Well, typically the orchid likes to be repotted after the flowering season, the flowering period has been completed. So, you know, if that's happening now, it's a good time to address the repotting issue. We really don't like to see orchids repotted going into the winter, but now we're coming out of it, so to speak, so the days are progressively getting a little longer. The orchid's going to realize that and tend to take off a little bit better for you. So we really don't like to do any repotting in the fall, if you know. So
right now is a good time to repot it?
It would be. If it's finished flowering, get it shifted. It sounds like that vessel that it's growing in doesn't actually have any drainage to it, so it might
no,
be...
No, it don't.
Yeah, it'd be good to get it out of that, get it in a bark-based mix so you can culture that plant properly.
Gotcha.
You know, that's really the best way to keep her going.
All right, give me one more time. What kind of a mix are you saying? No rocks, no moss, just a bark mix?
Yeah, it's a bark-based mix. It'll have bark, peat moss, and perlite mixed in it. And if you have trouble finding that, give us a shout at the greenhouse. We'll mail you some.
Sounds good. Appreciate that. Now, what will this guy grow for me? Should I put it outside in the summertime, or what's the protocol for this?
I'm assuming you have a Phalaenopsis orchid there.
Yes, it is. Phalaenopsis.
Yes, they're house plants. So check our website for the specific care. Yeah, they're house plants.
Hey, one more test question for both you guys.
Okay.
All right, Phalaenopsis. Tell me what it means.
Phalaenopsis.
Yep.
Well, all the orchids have different technical names to them, and Phalaenopsis is commonly known as the moth orchid, and it gets that name from that.
Real quick, the answer to the question is, you're right, Chuck, but there's another, the other one is Phalaen is probably supposed to be Latin or whatever for butterfly.
Right.
And Opsis is for look-alike, so it must look like a butterfly.
You've done some research.
Have a good day, guys.
Thanks for calling.
All right. And Judith was doing a little work, too. She says... don't forget that vanilla comes from an orchid.
Absolutely. We culture vanilla at the greenhouse. It's a vining type of orchid. And we flowered our specimen vanilla last spring, pollinated the blooms, and, of course, got the beans going on there. And that's quite a process. An interesting plan.
Oh, so have you had your own vanilla then? Or?
You know, I've never gotten to the point where I've extracted anything from the beans, but it's fun watching it grow and watching it bloom.
Oh, boy.
And they're easy to grow, too.
Karen in Wanakee, hello to you.
Good afternoon. Oh, I guess it's good morning yet.
Good morning.
Chuck, I just want to tell you I have a very happy plant, a very happy orchid plant, and it's got 12 white orchids on it.
Oh, good.
And it has been blooming for off and on for over a year and a half.
Oh, my. Okay.
And I haven't been able to get it in to have you repot it.
That sounds like a terrible thing to have happen.
Just waiting, and one of these days when the weather warms up, it'll have to come in to be repotted.
Well, it'll have to, yep.
Your orchid has been doing wonderful for me.
Well, thank you so much for that. I really appreciate it.
And I do keep it in the same location when I brought it home, and it's in the west window.
Great. That's great for the listeners to hear.
And it does seem to enjoy it. It's got all kinds of the air roots.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Finger roots.
Excellent. Kudos to you.
So I'm happy for it.
Excellent.
See you soon.
Appreciate that call.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, it's nice to hear from somebody with a happy plant. There are a lot of happy orchid plants out there. You can see a lot of happy orchid plants, by the way, at Orchid Quest at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Saturday, February 5th from 10 to 5, and Sunday, February 6th from 10 to 4. You can look at them. You can be like me and go home with one or two.
Three or four.
And have a wonderful time. Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Our guest here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. On this edition of Garden Talk, we're visiting about orchids with Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin. Great to have him along. Thank you for listening in. Questions for him about orchids or maybe about Orchid Quest coming up on the 5th and 6th of February, I hope you'll join us. You can reach us at 1-800-642-1234 or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. And you know what? We'll go right to the phones here. And Gary, I believe, Jerry in
yes.
Menominee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you for being on. I have a jewelweed, a jewel orchid, and it's a dark green with red stripes going through it.
Right.
And I believe it's in soil. And one of the main branches broke off.
Okay.
And it was in bud. So I put it in water, hoping that it would continue, you know, flowering out,
mm-hmm.
which it did.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaves, it's through blooming now, and the leaves are still very good looking. But on the, it's got a very thick kind of almost begonia type stem on it.
That's right, it does. Yes.
And but in the water, it seems to be growing some very hairy, fleshy looking type things that not quite looking like their roots, but almost like that. Now, can I repot that and will it grow? And if I do, what kind of soil should I put it in?
Well, definitely you can repot it. And the fuzzy things you see growing there are the initial stages of the root developing. So you could leave it in the water a little longer if you wanted, let the roots get a little farther along.
Yeah, they're about an inch longer.
Oh, you're home free. Yeah, get it in some mix. And basically, it is a terrestrial orchid in nature, so it does real well in a basic houseplant potting mix that's like a soilless mix like your Miracle-Gro potting soil or something like that.
Okay, now is it like an acid soil or just a regular, you know, sort of medium-sized pH?
You know, it's not that imperative of what you do there at all.
So if I put it in like an African violet soil?
Correct,
okay.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the exact pH requirements of that plant, but due to the fact that it's a terrestrial, it's probably close to the 6-5 range. Mm-hmm. But no, just something basic houseplant potting mm-hmm. soil.
And the other thing I was going to ask you about the cymbidiums.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they like to be root bound?
Cymbidiums love to be root bound. Most orchids do in general, but it's one orchid that can really tolerate a little extra room at the root zone. It has a huge root system. So
yeah, I realize that now. And what type of soil do they like? Do you know if they like an acid soil or I'm having trouble with, you know, what kind of soils I should put these. I know, you know, just let the other ones hang out in the air, but
yeah,
you know.
Well, the Cymbidium is a terrestrial in nature, and it would grow in a basic houseplant mix too, but I wouldn't recommend that in our climate because you may have trouble controlling the water issue with that. So we go with the typical orchid bark-based mix and water it accordingly. Due to the seasonal change, you need to water more in the summer and less in the winter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All
there
right.
you go.
Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks a lot for calling. And Judy in Green Bay, on to you now. Hi, Judy.
Hello. I am wondering if my orchid, I don't know what kind it is. I got it in Florida 2 years ago. It rode home in my lap, and it's made it. And once a year, it blooms, about 4 to 6 blooms. Is that normal, or is there something I could do to encourage it a little more?
Well, without knowing exactly what type of orchid you have there, it's really difficult for me to say if it's one that can flower more than once a year. If you would go to our website of orchidsgardencenter.com and maybe check the pictures there and see if you can ID the type of orchid that it is, a lot of orchids nowadays bloom more than once a year. You know, Phalaenopsis can bloom a couple of times a year. A lot of the slipper orchids can. A lot of the new Cattleya varieties also. So, you know, there's just more and more of that due to the new varieties that are out there. So, you know, if we knew a little bit more about exactly what genus you have, I could answer it more specifically for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you for calling. Appreciate it. And Josh and Hayward, on to you now. Hi, Josh.
Hey, guys. Listen, you piqued my interest about the native Wisconsin orchids. Can you talk a little bit about the different varieties that are out there for us to look for and what they look like and where we could find them? And then also, do you know if the Native Americans had any use for them, you know, medicinally or otherwise? Or
well, those are some really great questions, Josh. However, I'm not a native orchid specialist. I really know very little about the native orchids in North America or Wisconsin as far as that goes. I'm a tropical orchid specialist. If you would get on the internet and possibly look up Bluestem Farms and see if you can get some information from Scott Weber's website, and he will be presenting at Orchid Quest Saturday morning at 11:30. He's our local native orchid specialist, and that guy has got more knowledge in that department than I will ever have, so I really have to apologize. That's not my field of expertise.
Bluestem Farms.
Bluestem Farms. I'm pretty sure he's got a website. If not, shoot me an email at the greenhouse, and I'll get you some more contact information from him.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm really interested in that. Be fun to find out.
Oh, yeah. The native orchids are wonderful. I know there's just tons. There's about 40-some different species native to Wisconsin alone. So, you know, we just don't deal with them at the nursery at all. Our stuff is all tropical.
So it is bluestemfarm.com. You go there and you'll find that.
Excellent.
All right, super. Thanks for the help.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot for calling. And by the way, you can join in too. We have finally open lines again. So call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at talk@wpr.org. And as long as we were talking about natives, Gary in Barnum, Minnesota, said in response to a caller that asked about digging up wild orchids, it's important to know that many are rare and shouldn't be disturbed, but some are also protected, and it's illegal to dig them up. Is that the case? I believe it is.
Yes, absolutely. There are some provisions, though, for you know, the local people can go, you know, dig up orchids when a road crew is going through a certain forest area or whatever. You can get on the list, and I'm not sure exactly who you contact to do that, but it's really one of the only ways to grab orchids that are going to be demolished by a new road going into the woods somewhere up north. You know, if orchids are on your own property like that, you have the legal right to disturb them, if that's so to speak. You can move them from place to place, but again, it's really not recommended because they don't transplant well, so it's just best to leave them in their natural environment and their natural habitat there.
And Oh, we got, by golly, we've got some open lines here. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 with your questions or comments. We'll get you on pretty quickly. What's your favorite orchid, Chuck? Do you have a favorite?
I do, you know, and I'm a slipper orchid fanatic, and the slipper orchids are basically, you know, the ones with the pouches on them. They look alien-like. My specific favorite genus of the slipper orchid is the Phragmopedium, which is the South American version of the slipper orchid. I'm an avid hybridizer of the Phragmopedium genus. We've produced a lot of interesting varieties out at our nursery from that hybridizing program. That's probably one of the more interesting plants in my venue. And the slipper orchids is also one of the native genus to Wisconsin, too, the Cypripedium. And that's one of the callers that had that in their yard, too. So the slipper orchid's probably my favorite, bar none.
And when you hybridize, I mean, what's the is that something that, well, not any, I'm sure not, I couldn't do it, but I'm wondering how much technical background you need for something like that.
Well, you know, growing up in the business, and I learned from my father and my uncle Paul. So, you know, just growing up with that, you just watch how it's done. The pollination process itself really isn't that technical. Anybody that has a pair of eyes and a toothpick and a razor blade can probably do it if they know a little bit about the flower parts, the reproductive parts. It's getting the seed to germinate that's actually the really okay. tough part with the orchid family, and that's a laboratory process where orchids okay. are developed in a sterile nutrient solution inside of a sterile vessel, and it's a yeah. slow, touchy deal from there.
Chris and Madison, let's turn to you now. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I had recently bought an orchid. I think it was a Phalaenopterus, and I made the mistake of getting it on the coldest day of the month, and I think it got frostnipped, and there's some leaf damage, and I lost most of the flowers. And I was wondering what I should do to that now to just help it along.
Well, if the plant itself isn't affected at all, I would trim that stem back. Generally, the protocol to try to get that Phalaenopsis to reflower on the existing stem is to take a sharp razor blade and cut off only the section of that stem that actually bore the flowers. So basically, you're cutting pretty high. You'll notice the little nodes on the stem. Typically, you'll go up about 4 or 5 nodes and cut 1 inch above that. We also have pictures of that on our website for the Phalaenopsis care sheet of where to cut and how to do that. And if the plant isn't severely affected from the frost, that flower stem could possibly shoot its secondary bloom spike out and be in bloom again in as little as 60 days.
Okay. And I'm wondering, too, with the leaves. A couple of the leaves are sort of shriveled and like a little pockmarked.
Okay.
And I wonder if those might have been affected and if I should leave those on or do something to those.
Are those top or bottom leaves?
I believe the top leaves. Yeah, okay. It's the top leaves.
Well, if more of the leaf is good and green and, you know, you only have a few little spots like that, I would leave it alone completely. One thing you might want to try is dusting a little cinnamon on those affected areas just to prevent any bacterial rot from setting in. So that would check that for you. But other than that, leave it go.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Right. Thanks a lot for calling. An email from Paul in Madison. He notes one of the callers said her orchid has been blooming for 1.5 years. Is it possible to bloom an orchid to death? Don't they need a chance to rest?
Yeah, there's an issue with that sometimes. You know, like I said to that caller, that's a terrible thing to have happen. But in reality, it kind of is, because what we see, someone gets complacent with their happy orchid blooming and blooming and blooming year after year after year, and they don't get it repotted. And then the day of reckoning comes where the potting media has totally broke down and the roots start to rot. And when that happens, it goes pretty fast. And by the time you really recognize that it has happened, it's too late. So that's one way.
What about lights? Are there drawbacks to growing orchids under fluorescent lights? Let's say you're in a situation, maybe it's an apartment or what have you, where you just don't have good outside light.
You know, if you don't have any ambient natural light at all, then, of course, you're subjected to the artificial lights entirely. You're going to need to pick yourself up what they call the full-spectrum bulb in the fluorescent light situation, so that way you can get a lot of the rays and the light levels that the plants need. If you're just trying to supplement, add a little light, you have a natural window, but it's not super bright. Just hanging a typical fluorescent fixture there with basic cool white bulbs in it, your basic just go to Menards, whatever, cool white, that works great. And you'll want to also follow the natural photo period of our natural light cycle, too, so you can keep the plants on a normal cycle that they're in.
Mm-hmm. And we've got an email from Bob in Oshkosh. For those interested in wild orchids and saving them, there's a group, and we've talked about this group on this show in the past. It's called the Wild Ones in Nina, and they work to save natives that are disturbed by road work. And for that one, you can go to www.4-wild.org, 4-wild.org. For some more information, and actually, if you put Wild Ones and Nina up on your search engine, you're going to find that information pretty quickly, I would guess.
And that's excellent information. Thanks for posting that.
1-800-642-1234, the number to call if you'd like to join in with a question or comment. We'll get you on right away. What about disease, insect problems? Let's take disease first. What are the typical, or are there typical diseases that can affect orchids?
Well, one of the bigger ones is the root rot, typically Pythium or Fusarium, fungus like that. It's really an issue with the broken down mix. Sometimes just using the wrong mix also sets that up. A lot of people think that orchids do need to grow in some type of a soil mix, so they're putting that in there. And, you know, that's going to be one of the bigger issues is root funguses. Pretty easily controlled simply by using some products, but a lot of times, once you've recognized you have it in a plant, it's actually too late. So
yeah.
You try to practice good cultural hygiene just to stay away from it. And that, again, repotting on a regular basis.
And so insects, typically, if it's in the house, yeah, if you bring houseplants in from outside, that's probably when the big problems may occur.
Yeah, so that's when we get the biggest influx of calls for products to use. You know, typically, you got your summer outdoor, you're going to pick up some spider mite, probably pick up some scale or something like that. Typically, no different than any other houseplant. The orchids are going to get your basic aphids, mites, mealybug, scale. That's about it. Pretty easily controlled if you know what you're looking for.
Let's go to Paula in Green Bay next. Hi, Paula. Thanks for calling.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I think my orchid may have reproduced, and I'm not sure, and so I'm calling to find out if it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You got a kiki.
Yeah, I've got a little, it's a little two-leafed, smaller orchid coming out the side of one of my phalaenopsis, and I'm not quite sure what to do with it.
Okay. Is it coming out from the flower stem or right down at the base where the mother plant is?
At the base where the mother plant is.
Okay. So did something happen to the center leaf of your mother plant? Was it broken or terminated by something?
No.
Okay. All right, well, then it is splitting off. A fairly uncommon situation with a phalaenopsis orchid. It typically does not shoot off a small plant from the base like that. However, since it is, let it go. Let it develop. Let it live like that for another year at least. You know, you have the possibility of having 2 to 4 flower spikes on that pot once that thing starts to flower with that extra plant in there. So it is kind of cool to have that. You can separate it if you want, but you're going to need to wait until that offshoot is big enough where it has its own root system, and you can just break it off or cut it off and pot it separately. But I'd leave it together.
All right.
So you'd leave it together forever?
I'd leave it together until it's gotten totally unruly and you feel like, oh, it's time to separate it out, you know, because you're going to get a really nice display there when they all bloom.
Oh, great. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thanks, Paula. Arlene in Germantown, let's turn to you now. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. I have a funny story about orchids. I have quite a few orchids, and I was watering them one day, and I had this beautiful phalaenopsis that had just started blooming, and all of them hadn't come out yet, and it snapped off.
Oh.
Except it was attached just a little bit like a hinge on one side.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, no, I'm going to lose this beautiful flowering thing. So I ran to the bathroom, and I got a Band-Aid, and I cut off the sticky part, and I put it back together and wrapped it with a Band-Aid, and all the other flowers came out, and it bloomed for a long, long time.
Hey, all right.
All right. Good for you, Arlene.
You saved it.
What could I lose, you know?
That's right. That's right. You know, the vascular system wasn't entirely severed into two pieces, so there was still enough there to keep those flowers going. That's great.
Yeah, and everybody laughed about my Band-Aid on my flowers.
I can imagine.
It worked.
That's awesome. Thanks for sharing.
You got your own first aid kit there for orchids. Lee in St. Germain, let's go to you next. Hi, Lee. Thank you for calling.
Thanks for taking my call. We're in the North Woods, and we have a lot of the slipper orchids, wild names.
Yeah.
And they are dependent on fungi as a mycorrhizal partner, and I was wondering if the tropical orchids also require that.
Well, they do, absolutely, in their native environment. That's actually the fungus that helps the seed germinate that the mother plant has produced and distributed nearby. So, yes, indeed, it is a very important part to the natural orchid in its situation. Now, for us growing in a pot like that, no, there's really no beneficial fungi that's needed, but there is some there. And, you know, when you do repotting, you kind of disrupt that a little bit. And, you know, when it has to reestablish itself in a new orchid mix, it sometimes is good to leave just a little bit of the old mix around the roots that have stuck to the roots just for that reason, to carry on that beneficial fungi into the next batch of mix.
Well, thank you for the info.
Yep, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. An email from Karen, and we kind of touched on this a little bit, but how long does it take to get an orchid from the baby stage to bloom?
Well, you know, anywhere from 3 to 5 years in most cases, and some even longer, depending on the genus. We have actually spent up to 12 years on a slipper orchid, native to Borneo. Of course, our conditions here in the upper Midwest and Wisconsin aren't quite like Borneo, so, you know, it took a while, but boy, it was worth it. It was worth it.
And Randy in Reidsville, on to you. Hi, Randy. Oh, we lost Randy. Okay. Well, let's go back. And by the way, you brought an orchid today.
I did. I brought you an orchid, Larry. We have a little Phalaenopsis in there and a little miniature Phalaenopsis, which you probably can't even see in that wrapped-up box. But when you open it, I'm sure it'll make you smile. The thing is a little 2-inch pot, and the miniature Phalaenopsis is something new to the market. We have a pretty good crop of them blooming right now, which we'll be taking to Orchid Quest, and we hope that it goes over well. So enjoy.
Well, thank you for that. And again, back to Orchid Quest here in our last couple of minutes. It's coming up the 5th and 6th of February at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Great time for everybody. And how many vendors? Is some 50 or 60 vendors?
There's going to be about 25 or so vendors in there that will be selling plants. And then, of course, there'll be some other things going on. But there's a plethora of orchids in there. You'll see things there that you will never see any other time of the year, just because this is orchid bloom season right now. So it's just an amazing group of flowering orchids to be had.
And some of those orchids, in fact, some are for sale, some aren't. I mean, there are some just enormous, you know, sort of specimen orchids that folks bring that are
absolutely
unbelievable.
That's what makes the exhibit room so amazing. There's plants there that might be 50 or 60 years old that an orchid company has had in their collection that they use specifically for displaying in their exhibits for orchid shows like that. So it's really a great thing to see.
I don't know if those are never for sale.
That's pretty much it. Yeah, unless you want to spend 4 or 5 digits, I suppose they might part with it, but I doubt it.
Even for that, I don't think so. Well, Chuck, it's been a great pleasure. I'm sorry we're not getting have time to get to everybody else here, but thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks
Hope you'll come
me.
Back.
I certainly would love to, Larry. Thank you.
Chuck Aker of Orchids Garden Center and Nursery in Wanakee, Wisconsin. That business used to be Orchids by the Acre, and Chuck Aker has been there for a long time. at Orchids Garden Center. So it's great to have him along. And he will. You're going to be there at Orchid Quest, I assume.
Absolutely, yes. We have one of the larger displays set up there, a 100-square-footer, so we bring out our best wares.
All right. Chuck will be back. We'll have him back, and we'll do this again and have some more fun talking with him about orchids. Just to take a look ahead to see what's coming up next week on Monday, Dr. Mike Fiore from the University of Wisconsin Hospitals.